Good evening, and welcome to Off the Record with Georgette Pierre, where there are no filters, just us. This week marks my show's 5th year anniversary, and celebrating per usual, running down 2014's biggest moments in music and social media. To help me end off the year right, my special guests from different parts of the industry will offer their points of view on what happened this year and their projections for 2015. Who knows what next year will hold? So quick disclaimer, the views shared during this episode are that of my guests and should not be considered the views of everyone else participating. Now, with that being said, time to introduce my first guest of the hour. This woman is a sneakerhead, kills the game as a music writer at VH1, having previously lent her talents to Complex magazine. Born and raised in Jersey, she prefers SoundCloud over Spotify. Ooh, take that, Taylor Swift. When she's not working out to Beyonce, she's trying to whip up miracles in the kitchen like Bobby Flay.
Right.
Follow her on Twitter at Diane Show. I welcome Diane Show.
Thank you so much.
Lady, what is good?
Not much.
Thanks for joining me.
You're welcome.
My next guest dabbles in a little bit of everything. Stephen Williams is a marketing strategist for MTV, as well as a musician, YouTuber, and cultural commentator. Known for his mainstream knowledge of pop culture, he'll also give you a run for his money in social justice, politics, and international affairs. I welcome Stephen Williams.
What's going on?
Oh, a mouthful.
I know, right?
And last but never least, I welcome my third guest, Don, the King of Controversy. My next guest has earned more than enough respect and credibility in journalism with a genuine love for the hip-hop culture and writing. Rob Markman's published work spans outlets including Scratch Magazine, XL, and his most recent post as senior hip-hop writer. From the Double XL freshman covers to MTV's Hottest MC list, Rob is no stranger to music debate. With a word game like no other and the music knowledge has shut down any year endless, I welcome Rob Markman. Rob.
What did I get the King of Controversy?
You know what? It was an article I read. I was like, what?
Almost non-conversation.
You are. You can join in on the discussion at 619-924-9824 and on Twitter and Facebook using the hashtag OTR with GP. First and foremost, thank you all for joining me tonight and assisting me in celebrating 5 years of my show.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to cover. Thank you. There is a lot to cover, y'all. I want to begin, and I focus on obviously, I want to start with music because there has been a lot of memorable moments in music. And obviously, this is not the end all be all, but just kind of to get some things going. J. Cole's 2014 Forest Hill Drive album. Rob, I got to start with you on this one. What were you thinking about this album?
I think the way that J. Cole rolled out this new album was just amazing, man. In an era where people say that fans don't buy music, you know, and record sales are down, yeah. But, you know, it's kind of bold now. Like, without a radio single, without a really media push, Cole prove that if you touch your fans and if you mean something to your fans, they're going to go out and buy your music. So maybe the music industry needs to look at making better music and better experiences for the fans because, you know, we've been selling them bum-ass CDs for a long time.
Can I tell
you?
Yeah, you can.
So Cole did it right, man. He touched his fans and his fans came out supporting him. I think he has the type of base where, you know, it'll be interesting when they tally up the numbers. He did over 300,000.
Right.
I don't think 300,000 people bought the record as much as there were fans who bought 2 and 3 copies.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because they were that passionate about
right.
it. And that's something that doesn't come up in the marketing meeting in the boardroom at your record label. Like, that's that he really touched his fans.
He did. You know, it was so funny because I am a J. Cole fan, and there's always the conversation about, oh, everyone's now a J. Cole fan, yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, well, that's a moot point because the business of any artist is to grow their fan base.
Yeah.
And so to take away from this man, I feel like getting on J. Cole's bandwagon now is better than nothing. I think it's just 3 mixtapes and 3 albums later for people to be interested in J. Cole, he's doing something.
But guess what? Everybody wasn't a Jay-Z fan,
correct,
in Reasonable Doubt.
Right.
Like, it was, you know, his third album, volume, you know, 2, It's his best selling album at 5 million. So it's supposed to grow, right? You know?
You know what I think makes an artist great, and this ties into what you just said. I think that when an artist can acquire new fans, you know, by meeting them where they are, you know, I think that's one of the signs of greatness. And like you just said, not everyone was a fan of Reasonable Doubt. I wasn't a fan of Reasonable Doubt because I was maybe like 6 years old.
Sure.
But in 2010, I believe, or 2009, when he dropped Blueprint 3 when I was a freshman in college, that was the album for me. And just like, I wasn't a fan of J. Cole. I knew nothing about J. Cole before this album. But I sat on Spotify and listened to it just yesterday, and I said, this guy is a genius.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I've definitely been fighting with people. I stopped for a while even bringing him up because I like take it personally when I hear all this shit, all this stuff about like he's boring, he's this and that. Like I'm not ready to listen to his record right now.
Yeah,
people feel like they have to mentally prepare for listening to his song, and that's ridiculous to me. And I think, I mean, his sales, it was so overwhelmingly successful,
mm-hmm.
and it just shows that even to this day, we're still looking for quality. And like, regardless of whatever else is coming out, like it'll like pop off for like a bit, but this is like long standing. I know for a fact that his fans are like go above
crazy,
and
they're craving it. Yeah,
so, yeah.
I'm curious on what he's going to do next. I was listening to the credits, and he said this is the last contractual album of Columbia, and I mean that could mean a lot of things. They re-up on a new contract, maybe they're like, okay, cool, you cool.
Yeah, he'll probably, I feel like he's going to focus on his artists and really develop them because Kaz is sick. Kaz is really coming off as his own independent, not so much linked to Cole all the time now. So I feel like he's really going to grow his label. And, I mean, he just put out the album. So he's going to do the tour. So a lot of that.
I'm ready for that. Mm-hmm. Now, jumping to Chief Hot this week, obviously, Nicki Minaj is a Blueprint. You know, a lot of people always want to debate with Nicki in regards to is it pop, is it rap? And I kind of feel like, why do we even have to question what genre she's following? And, like, let Nicki do what she wants to do. But I actually took to this album. I didn't jump off the first album. I bought the second album and lost it. Still don't know where it is. I'm mad about that. And then I'm like, I'm listening to Pink Prince on Spotify. And I'm like, Nicki, man. And then, I got to see her Crown interview, and it really kind of honed in on more of what she's been kind of doing all along and what she's been confirming all along for those. But what are y'all thoughts about Pink? And then Nicki, she went from, like, super out there wigs to now toned down and, you know.
You know what I love about Nicki is that with the second album, I think that was such an important statement for her to say, I can be super successful in the top 40 lane, and I can still play the hip-hop game.
Right.
So I think that was what the second album did. And then this album, she just said, I'm going to do whatever the hell I want. I'm going to give you a little bit of pop. I'm going to give you a little bit of hip-hop. But the conversation, I don't feel like with this album, the conversation is not, what is she? Is she hip-hop?
Mm-hmm.
Is she pop? If she is an artist, period. And, you know, just like she said last night at the Crown interview that we were actually at, you know, this is about skill, you know, and I think when it comes down to it, she's showing her skill as a musician. It does not matter if it's pop, if it's hip-hop, it's skill.
But, I mean, and that's why, for me, at the core of everything,
mm-hmm.
Nicki a rapper.
Right.
And when I came to listen to Nicki, like, she raps, she still cares about bars. I think the paper in this is her best album.
By leaps and bounds.
I mean, one, I think musically she was able to tie it all together. And here she opened up like never before. I remember when Beat Me Up Scotty, one of my favorite songs, Can Anybody Hear Me, was really talking about things that she was going through. And I think like the first three tracks, like All Things Go, The Crying Game, I Lied, she's talking about, you know, having an abortion or losing a child in some sort of way, a marriage proposal that she reluctantly accepted, like, you know, abusing her boyfriend. She's talking about, yo, I know I'm abusive. Like, yo, besides the bars, because it's there, the things that she was saying, she became even more of an artist. Like, and I was able to connect to her through her vulnerability in a way that I hadn't been able to do very much before. We always knew she was nice, but it's like, wow, like,
So the vulnerability, that was your connection to Nicki more so.
Yeah, because, you wanted to see, you knew she was nice, but you wanted to see what was under the wig, what was under the colorful stuff that she stripped down and she toned it down. Mm-hmm. And when she opened up like that, I mean, I think, she calls it the pink print and she gets all those comparisons to Jay, which I don't think is really fair to her. But on Jay's blueprint, when he dropped Song Cry, a lot of people started looking at Jay different.
Yeah.
But for that, if there's any similarity, I think it's the vulnerability in it. And I can't believe, she just went up another level because she was always.
She did.
At the top, she brought up another level.
Are you a Nicki fan, Diane?
Yeah, for sure. And I agree. I think this is her best album. And honestly, I think, the fact that she's been able to open up and, people were causing a ruckus with her Anaconda and, everything being over-sexual and super mm-hmm. hype, but just goes to show that it was about skill. And the fact that, all that was just, the rush before the actual album dropped, and now everyone's listening to it, and she has a little bit of everything. It's pretty much, I think it was perfect. I loved it. I loved it a lot.
So what do you all think these numbers going to do, though, in her first week?
Right now, they're projecting for Nicki to do under 200. Like,
are they?
Unless we're talking about, a Lil Wayne, a Drake, a Beyonce, a Taylor Swift, 125 to 175 is what everyone is up to.
And Nicki was doing over 2 before. Nicki feels bigger because she feels larger than
me. She does.
At the same time, I agree with you. I don't see these numbers or nothing to sneeze at. And whatever the first week does, by the end of the day, this is going to be a gold record.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a platinum record.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to do what it's going to do. I want to stress so much about Nicki Minaj's first week numbers because she's going to work that out.
I like that.
There's a lot to work with over
last year.
Now, Beyonce, she... This woman, she's good with smart, okay? She re-released the self-titled album Beyonce that was, came out a year ago, added 2 new songs,
mm-hmm.
made a video for one of them, and people went nuts over. I kept staring at her, and I'm following her, the platinum edition, did you all really kind of feel an impact on the platinum edition with Beyonce?
I actually saw it upstairs. I saw it.
The visual that this.
I told her that.
Yeah.
Oh, it was tiny. I was kind of expecting something kind of
right.
And then in it was just loose CDs and then the calendar in it, but everything was really small. And I think it was a shame that everyone was kind of freaking out because they were saying this leaked. They were kind of looking for something else when the whole time it was just going to be released.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless. I mean, it is what it is, but because of the whole initial, there's going to be a new album, she's going to do it again, it kind of just ruined it for me.
What are your thoughts about that?
I wasn't expecting much from her. I'm not into re-releases so much. Give it to me on the album.
Let
that be that. But, Beyonce is one of those special artists where she has a fan base that won't eat that up. And obviously her self-titled album was crazy, and it ran the whole year. It was just a little something extra, if you wanted it. I appreciate the visual. 7-Eleven video was genius. The way she took, to me, she took a bunch of gifts and just strung them together and made them into a video because every moment in that video is, giftable. You know what I'm saying?
It's
something that you could share. I think it was dope. I'm not taking it too serious. I don't think Beyonce was necessarily thinking, this is here, this is my space.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a nice way to end the year. Maybe mm-hmm. stock and stuff for the Beyonce fan in your life, and keep it moving.
I think that record when it was re-released, I agree with everything everyone said, but I think that this whole thing really speaks to her power.
Right.
The fact that she can, take a video with an iPhone, an iPad, and her Mac, and film a music video, and everyone goes crazy over it for 2 weeks, everyone has already recreated it, all the most famous YouTubers have already made their version. There are just millions of views on her video and all of the recreations. That's just insane, the fact that she can just do that. And couple it with, go buy my album again. And people did.
I only bought that single, because I had the album, and I was, it's funny, Rob, because you were the reason why I even knew about her album being dropped last year. I was on Instagram. I woke up and I was like, this is Rogers. What? And Rob was the reason why I even knew Beyonce that was Rob, because he posted it on Instagram and I literally was like,
did she not say that? I think he saw know who you were on that video.
I sure do.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
I know where I was. I was on. Yeah.
What'd you do with that album?
It was so great.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, I tell people this all the time. I don't even know why I'm giving away jewels, but people pay for curiosity.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So it's that curiosity and that fear of missing out. So I woke up and I saw my whole timeline. I'm like, what you mean Beyonce dropped
an album?
You mean an album leaked? And no, it's on iTunes and it's all over the place. And I'm sitting there eating my Raisin Bran, eating my cereal, yeah, ready to work. And I'm like, well, I got to download this. But by the time I get to the office, they're going to come to me and be like, well, what you think of the album? You know, so I had to do it. And you just want it. I seen everybody else talking about it. And
yeah.
It's like when you see a fight. You're from the hood, man. Like, and why we run to the fight? You told them on the way to the fight to see what's going on. Beyonce had a little ruckus, and we all ran to it.
That's so funny. And the way I think that's funny how you said it, because it was like, I was like, y'all ain't going to up me all talking about this album. I'm going to be the one to know track 1 through 13, so all 14 videos, before you can say, like, did you buy? Done. Like, I was mad. Twitter beef. This was funny. This was an interesting year for Twitter beef. I feel like Azalea Banks versus everybody. But she went in, because, you know, there was a lot of social injustice that was taking place on social media, and then we'll get to that. But a lot of people have kind of really been going in on Iggy. I think this was an interesting year for her. I'm not a fan of Iggy's rapping style, but I think I would be hating if I said that she's not noticing what she did this year. You know, she's been popping up singles here, you know, making charts, all that other stuff. But what did y'all think about Azalea Banks coming for her in regards to, you know, appropriating Black culture and her being silent on Black issues? Is that Iggy's place to really even speak on that? Like, does she have to just because she's in hip hop?
I think she has to speak on it because.
But why?
Okay, let me rephrase that. She doesn't have to, but she needs to accept the fact that if she doesn't, people are going to look at her sideways. Because how can you base your entire career off of, you know, your love for Black music, your love for Black culture, but as soon as a Black issue comes to the forefront in culture, you're silent. You have nothing to say. You, Justin Timberlake, Justin Bieber, none of you have anything to say? So, you know, I think Azalea does have a good point, you know, with all the things she said, but at the same time.
But she's got to take seriously if she keeps picking Twitter beef with so many artists. She does.
Listen, I can't tell you. I can't quote an Azalea Banks lyric, but I could quote her tweet. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
it's true, right?
I was going to say no shade. Nah, but shade. Right? Listen, like, we know you more for the ruckus and the dust that you're kicking up than for you. Obviously, she has a fan base that's super dedicated to her. But for the most part, we know you more for the things you say rather than the things you do. And I think she's a very talented woman and a talented artist. But I wish I'd seen that talent more than just the rah-rah. But at the same time, I mean, somebody had it.
I really think if she's obviously a strong presence right now. I think it just bothers me because of the way she reacts to certain situations. Like, how much hate does every single artist receive all the time?
And the fact that she takes it so personal every time.
Right. It's like, if she believes in herself and wants to continue to make music for her fans, just focus on that, because a lot of the stuff that goes on the side, I feel like, for me, sometimes it just distracts them. Like, I just don't want to hear it, but I just want to tune her out.
Yeah, definitely tune her out. Do you think Iggy as an artist? What do you think of her as an artist?
I have no opinion of Iggy as an artist, and I think that says a lot.
Yeah.
Because if you're, you know, number one or number two on top 40, and I still have no opinions of you, you're not doing something wrong. You're doing something wrong.
Right.
So, you know, I don't want to say
but these awards that she, I feel like, you know, it's so funny, I feel like Iggy would be like, but these awards ain't saying that. So, you know what I mean? Like, she won a couple of AMAs, Grammy Notch.
But here's
These awards have lacked their credibility, especially the Grammys, since the day Taylor Swift was able to win Album of the Year back in 2010, I want to say.
Well, why? Why did she lose credibility?
Why did the Grammys lose credibility? Yeah.
Well,
was
that for her Red album?
And that's the one that
might have been.
Because I think that album was good, and I don't even listen to it.
I don't think
like
there's any reason, given who is in this music industry, that Taylor Swift should ever win Album of the Year.
Yeah,
back to what Nikki said about skill. Back to what Nikki said about skill. I see none of it.
You don't think she has any skill as a songwriter?
But she's not playing that guitar no more.
No, but she can. She really.
Rob, what were you about to say?
Just about, I mean, being in hip-hop, I'm through with seeking acceptance. You know what? It's dope because we said it's dope. YG, Album of the Year, because we said it's album.
Mm-hmm.
So what, he don't got to grab it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we keep seeking acceptance from people that don't rock with us anyway and only rock with us part-time. Like, so I'm hip-hop every day. That I wake up, like, I don't turn it off. Like,
mm-hmm.
I listen to other stuff, you know what I'm saying? Like, but I'm a hip hop dude. Like, so, a nomination, a rock and roll, you know, I thought the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame should have inducted NWA into the Hall of Fame.
Right.
But what was I expecting for real?
Right.
But NWA means something to me. That's what
right. So it's kind of like, yeah,
whatever.
Lil Wayne and Tyga, but I feel like Tyga's been different than Young Money, but they're both kind of beefing with the label with this delay of their album. Actually, Tyga is no longer on Young Money, and that was confirmed. Mac Main, I think when I was reading an interview, said he is no longer on the label. So he went indie, and I know he actually kept talking about going indie for the longest time. But Wayne is a bigger piece of Young Money. You know, I mean, like, he came in almost damn near out the room working with Cash Money at 14. He's rapping, he's dropping albums.
Yeah.
You see him grow. He has his girl man, his bird man, and all of a sudden he's like, I want off Cash Money. And you're like, what? You hit your Scooby Doo face. I was a little shocked by that. I'm not going to lie. I'm actually kind of curious by this. What's going on? And then I'm being known. No, but Nicki made a great point in her client. She says she feels like it's more than that because Wayne has had albums delayed before, and he wasn't like rowdy about it. So what is going on this time?
I mean, like you said, he's been with it since day one.
Right.
He was young, and I think it is surprising, but also, like, I mean, they've probably grown apart. You know, you stay with one group for a whole entire life. It's hard to say that you're going to stay with that one group forever, for throughout your whole entire career forever. It's definitely sad. It's really sad. I feel like it's been the end of an era if he really just dropped.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. If he left, what would we get about to be if he left Cash?
I can't even imagine. I can't. Because, I mean, it's more than a business relationship with those guys. That, you know, you think about your family members or your loved ones.
Yep.
If you're submitting a number and y'all be going at it. You know, I really think they have a father-son relationship. And, at the end of the day, I think it will remain Cash Money. I think they'll work it out because it's more than business to them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what Birdman is without Wayne, and I don't know what Wayne is without Birdman. You know, I think they're just going through some, and, you know, we all got our days.
Mm-hmm.
And run to Twitter and be like, you know what, I'm sick of this. If you keep looking at me the way you keep looking, but yeah, I think they'll work it out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I can't see it in all the things. Where's he going to be? Like, Wayne don't sign to nobody else. Lil Wayne's not on Cash Money.
Yeah.
He's Lil Wayne. You know what I'm saying? Like, then he got his own thing. But I think they'll work it out.
I think so, too. Did he stop in Drake? Over a beat, though. Okay, so.
You know what?
This is my thing. So if it's true about. So producer boy wonder if it's true that he gave both of them the beat. And didn't down it for 8 months. I give you a gift, Rob, and you sit on it for 8 months. You weren't really rocking with that. Like, you didn't want that, for real. But then you think about time for recording music.
Did he pay for the beat? Did he pay for the beat? Then you ain't giving me a gift. I don't know what the dealing was behind it, but And it's deeper than that. It probably just wasn't just over a beat. It was probably a beat, a conversation, another conversation, another heated conversation, and then it boils over.
But, you know, being on beat and sitting on a song is common practice. Beyonce sat on Halo for almost a year.
Did she? But if she owned that beat, I think it's a little bit different.
She sat on it for almost a year, and Ryan Tedder got back to her. Like, hey, you gotta record this.
Did you write it or? Okay.
He's like, yo, son, I'm Beyonce.
You know
what?
You know
what? Should I drop it?
Yeah.
Nah, that's what it is. I'm Diddy. Nah.
I'm Diddy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But they were at a party, right? So
it was outside of the club.
I mean, it was drinks.
Yeah,
right.
That's what I was thinking too.
Like,
but aside from that, what a grown ass man. Who is worth over $500 million, there is no reason you should ever want to slap somebody.
Sometimes you got to feel like, Diddy done had some altercations.
He has, yeah.
It's kind of weird, but sometimes you're a grown man, you just want to feel like he still got it. I don't know. That was weird. That was the strangest. Like, they were telling me about it, and we were reporting on it, and as I'm reporting on it, as we're writing, as we're fact-checking, as we're reaching out to sources, I still don't believe it.
I find it so hard to believe, too.
Nobody told
me? And that's what everyone kept saying. They were like, there had to be somebody. To be honest, I didn't want to believe it. And they were like, oh, because you like Drake. I was like, I do, but that just sounded so high school.
Wait, so
am I fighting? Or, you know, it just sounded so high school.
But was, like, dislocated shoulder and all that, was that real?
That's the thing. DJ, who was it?
Was it
Rick
Ross?
Was it DJ in the hospital? Yeah. Secret, yep. Well, I mean, people don't know what it is. No one knows. That's exactly what it is. It's a mystery. I know, eventually. Elevator game.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Slash hashtag what Jay-Z says at the launch. So, you know, when I watch that video, there weren't jokes that popped into my head as many as we saw online. I think the first thing I thought was, what made Solange that mad that she is going ham? And is this her first time doing that to Jay? Right, and that's what I'm... So
it was Jay
I mean, I don't think it went that far, but they definitely have fights before.
That was a great... Do you think that kind of was the craziest thing that we ever saw? Because humans, they're always kind of reserved for their business. Was that kind of like one of the biggest stories this year? Do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, completely. And, like, I saw it as, like, an outsider being like, holy crap, that is insane. Whatever was said was, like, you know, had to be crazy. And then you got to think, like, their family and family fight. And I know, like, I mean, not that her attacking him was okay, but, like, I could probably understand whatever was said, and if that had fuel enough going from family to, like, members, it could get really heated like that.
Yeah.
But it's the bizarre thing was the way Jay-Z and Beyonce reacted. Because how can you be so calm? Like, so calm.
I think that's Jay.
But that was it.
That is Jay. I what think that's so
because, like, at first I was like, how dare Beyonce, like, not stop my sister from doing that, like, blah, blah, blah. Because at the end of the day, for me personally, I don't care who was right. I'm not going to let you attack him, and I'm not going to let him touch you.
Right.
But then when you think about it, Beyonce has been saying that since she was 16 years old.
Yep.
She has had security since
well, that's what I'm saying.
16
it's
years
strange.
Old. She lived in a different world and had a different mindset.
But you think that way, like, with her sister? Like, no matter what, when I'm with my sister, it's like, you know, I don't know. They did not even, like... flinch, really. They were just like,
here's the other thing, though, too. I mean, first of all, we just saw that Thanksgiving in my house. When I saw it, I thought they were playing corners in the elevator. They were playing corners. Greater game on top. But, I mean, she attacked him, but, like, she ain't hook up. Like, they wasn't hurt. Like, it wasn't, like, I don't think there was, like, imminent danger.
Right.
He was
kind of
just like,
all right,
chill.
Right. No, but if you look at the whole video, it was almost like, you know what, listen, women, we can be very catty, and if you did something that I agree, I won't let my sister touch you. I won't look at you like, because when she walked up the elevator, Beyonce pushed Jay back, and Jay was trying to get out first, Beyonce pushed Jay back, and he was still in the elevator with Solange, And then I think he went out, obviously, with DeAngelo first. And so that's what made me think, like, Beyonce was cool with it.
That made them better to me, though. I was like, man, they just like my family.
Yeah, man. I thought that was funny.
Thank you.
I want to jump to Bobby Shmurda. Yeah. So I didn't know for a long time who this man was. Somebody was like, you know, the Shmurda dance. I was like, what do you mean, the two-step? Because I've seen that years ago. And so Bobby Shmurda, obviously, people know him for, you know, you can't see yet, but, you know, we're with our hands in the air, right? And then you hear about him. Well, then you heard about the video where he looked like he was a dancing buffoon in front of, like, label execs or whatever, like, jumping all over the place. And then you get the confirmation that it was released today that he was arrested for possible involvement in shootings and narcotics trafficking. So apparently they were monitoring this guy for a minute. I feel like, lyrical content, are you even surprised?
I mean, I feel like this is a prime example of, like, when you hit instant fame. And, like, he's young. I don't think he's 21 yet. And, like, it was an overnight sensation. Stuff that's happening to him now, I feel really bad for him because it hasn't been long since he reached that fame. But, like, I think when you have to adjust to that kind of lifestyle so quickly, I don't know if, like, certain people can handle it.
I don't know. Well, what about you, love? Are you surprised?
I'm surprised. I am surprised. But, you know, the point is to get out. To get out your situation.
Yep. Right.
And it's easier said than done. That, you know, just because you get a record deal and get some money, that don't change the circumstance. That don't change the person you had beef with 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, first of all, I don't know what he's been charged with. You know he's been arrested. I don't think the charges have formed become
right.
We don't know the whole situation. So we don't know if he's actually guilty of these things that they're accusing him of. But I will hope that it seemed like he kind of had one foot out the hood and was really on his way. And, you know, that's got to suck to have one foot out and then to potentially get snatched back. You know, in the streets and jail or whatever. I mean, I hope it works out for him, but I'm surprised because he looked like he was having a lot of fun.
Really?
Doing his funny dance and you know, me, he's like, man, once you give me a little bit of that, I ain't going back.
Right.
So, I mean, hopefully it works out. Again, like, he technically hadn't been charged with anything yet as of right now. I think they sent an indictment. It's going to come down tomorrow. Yeah, some charges are going to come down in the morning, but. You know, we don't know. We don't know if it was him, if it was members of his crew. Like, we don't know what's going to happen. I was surprised by this. I didn't see this coming.
Real quick, before we take a break. Arthur had a breakthrough year. Taylor Swift, you roll your eyes.
Sure do.
Meghan Trainor, Iggy Azalea, Ariana Grande. Who else am I missing that had a breakout year?
Sam Smith.
Yeah, he did have a major year. There was a lot of people.
I think Nick Jonas broke out for sure. But, like, honestly, I never.
Or for Marky Mark.
I feel like I never paid attention to him ever until this year.
Yep.
Really gave him a chance.
Yep.
You said that, go ahead.
No, his songs are not bad. I was jealous.
Wait, Arthur was touched on this year. I forgot about him last year. How did I forget that
girl? Last name.
Who was touched on this year? And you know what? Hip hop, I felt like, kind of bumped. People didn't really drop a lot of hip hop albums until, like, the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. This year was the year of pop. Seriously, pop and everything else.
Ariana Grande.
It definitely was the year of pop, but there's something going on
with
hip hop because Katy Perry Dark Horse was a big song. It's pop, but they're still using that hip hop sound.
Yep.
Like, they still got to come to us. And he ain't lying. You know, Five they call it lie. We have to be careful with how we treat our music and just lend it out so freely. Mm-hmm. Because everybody's like, yo, it was a bad year for hip hop. Yo, it was an off year for hip hop. But hip hop still won.
And that's the thing. That's the thing that back to the Grammy situation, and that's what pisses me off. Because, like, okay, why is Pharrell in the urban category, but Miley Cyrus, who's
basically made a hip-hop R&B album is in the pop, contemporary, is in the pop, you know, category. That doesn't make any sense to me.
But, you know, it's also hard to classify these things because there's so much genre bending. Because at the same time, I see Pharrell, like, not wanting to be defined by just being hip-hop. Like, I could see both sides of it. But, you know, it's like the Grammys or just mainstream America or pop radio takes the parts of hip-hop that they feel comfortable with, right, and put it out there. But YG, that make us feel a little uncomfortable. Like, listen, Rick Ross still dropped 2 records this year. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not like, don't happen every year to every artist. The second one didn't do as well as the first one. I like Mastermind, but, you know, Rick Ross is one of those guys that makes people feel uncomfortable.
Yep.
But, you know, Childish Gambino, safe. You feel good. He's going to get the nomination. Like, it's just, it's like nothing against Childish, but I don't understand what be going through these people's heads.
Like,
why is he not getting a Grammy nomination to me? It's just like, whatever.
Well, no, and of course, it has people questioning the Grammys, and that's actually going to be
a question them every year.
We do.
We did last year relationship with the Grammys with Harry Kendrick versus Macklemore. We questioned it then. Jay boycotted the Grammys. Jay, remember, '98, Jay was nominated. I think he might even won an award, but said he wasn't going because they didn't nominate DMX, so he didn't feel like he was really up against the best of the best. Yeah, I ain't nominate X, I ain't going. Hip hop need to get back to start boycotting the Grammys, right? And watch them ratings go down, and then you won't see things change. Like,
I know it. Oh yeah. Yo, the wildest conversation that we're having in here. Oh, man, y'all are funny. Okay, if you're just not tuning in, you're listening to 2014's biggest moment in music and social media. My guests include MTV News, Hip Hop Writing, the journalist Rob Markman, VH1.com, Diane Cho, and MTV strategic consultant, commentator, cultural, like, Kieran Williams.
All of that.
All of that. YouTuber. Join in on the discussion at 619-924-9834. Okay, so now we're jumping into social media, y'all. This was a crazy year. Crazy news. So many things happened to people. I'm just thinking about, well, first we got to talk about Ferguson, Mike Brown, Eric Garner. Yeah, I do, because it wouldn't even be right to at least have such a ball. We'll touch that first, but the Millions March and, like,
I just want to say,
yeah,
like, going back to J. Cole,
yeah,
and saying, talking about, like, quality, and when I say quality, not just in music, but, like, as a person,
yeah,
and when he went down there, honestly, as a fan.
Oh, he went down there.
Yeah, he did go down there.
This summer.
Oh, in the very beginning when everything was going on, yeah.
Okay.
I know he was like, I'm not going to do any interviews. He did do one with Complex, though, because he's friends with
the people, yeah.
Exactly. But otherwise, I mean, that to me just shows a lot, you know, yeah, that he's involved and he really cares. And the fact that he takes his time out to be in it when he has the opportunity and he has the resources,
correct,
to get there, it made me so proud. I was like, yeah.
Yeah. What, Rob? How do you feel about this? I mean,
I think it hurts.
Yeah.
To live in this country. Like, I was talking with a friend, and we were saying after Ferguson, the initial Ferguson protest, and we were seeing all the pictures on social media. And I was like, man, these pictures don't even look like, these look like the pictures I used to see in the textbook when we used to read about the Civil Rights era, and they told us that these problems were solved. You know,
yeah.
And it's like, well, hold on. If somebody lied, and then, you know, after Obama gets elected and everybody wants to talk about this post-race America, like, that don't exist. You know, and it's clear that don't exist. And, you know, the problem is that, you know, I don't want, a lot of people talk about police brutality as the issue, you know, and I don't think police brutality is an issue. I think it's a small part of a larger issue, because if police brutality was the issue, when police were just naturally brutal or right to be brutal, it don't be happening to men, women, children, people of all color, races, ages. It's only happening to young black males. So, you know, what it goes to show you is it's not police brutality. The police aren't brutal. They're brutal to young black men, you know, and that's race. And, you know, this country has a real race problem in 2014, and it hurts, and it's embarrassing. And, you know, I think America is the greatest country in the world. But right now, it don't feel like it.
We're losing.
Maybe I'm biased.
Yeah.
But right now, it just doesn't feel like it. Because if we can't get this right,
then yeah.
You know, and that's the conversation I had with my mother. You know, we disagree with the whole greatest country in the world, because I don't think there's any criteria that can really say one country is the best. But
I just do have to come too, so that's the idea we're having. I just go that way.
At the same time, we know that America is top-notch. America is top-notch, no question, along with many other, you know, nations, you know, the UK, Canada, Australia, what have you. But at the same time, we have it so good that our problems should not be of this magnitude and of this gravity, this much gravity. They should not be this great. You know, so that's, I think that goes to show, you know, we're not as great of a nation as we tend to think that we are.
Well, you know, the country's looking on, and they think we're animals.
Yep.
And I think when I read that, I was like, man, you can't even negate that, because that's how we are coming across.
Oh, yeah.
I think I almost busted out in tears. I was coming to the gym, walking to my apartment, whatever, you know, Central Park, Cathedral Park Parkway, and they're protesting. And I have never witnessed that in my life. Like, you know, you hear it going on, and everything was happening in Times Square. I'm like, damn, I missed it. And this was the one time I ran into it, and I almost followed it, but I didn't have the proper winter attire. I was real cold, you know. And so I was like, wait a minute, this is, and you're hearing them shout and shout, and you see all these cops. And the cops were kind of like, we're used to this. And it just kind of, it was just overwhelming because you saw all people out there,
yeah.
You know, yelling and chanting and you know, it's, yes, we may, you know, people of color may be affected more, but the fact that other people understand, recognize.
And that's another thing, too, like, you know, to paint this just as a black problem,
right.
Is I think the wrong. This is an American problem. This affects you. This affects all of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it's primarily, you know, it's an epidemic in the black community and what's going on. But yo, this affects everybody because this is our country. And it's like, you know what? This is not a country that I want to raise kids in and have to explain to them what's going on in the news. Why? You know, these kids are being shot down because of the color of their skin. You know, and the law and the court system tells you maybe it was something a little different, but when you just see it happen again and again and again, and it was like, what's the one common thread? Because after Trayvon, it was supposed to get better, right? After Trayvon, we was like, man, this is never supposed to happen again in America. And how many times has it happened since Trayvon? Like, we didn't even bring up Trayvon day one.
Yeah.
And we still, those ones are still fresh.
Yeah. They are. Very,
it's disheartening.
You know, the way I started looking at it was, you know, everyone, you know, it was, I hated the fact that the cop, Darren Wilson, you know, I was waiting to resign and I was my resignation until I found the verdict. And it was kind of like, but that is a weight on their shoulders that they have to consciously live with. And as harsh as this may sound, I'm okay with that. I am okay with that. This man that killed Trayvon Martin, you are scared for your life, bro. For his life.
But the scary part is that it's bigger than George Zimmerman.
Yeah.
Because there's more out there. And the problem is like, what is going on that these men are being bred, that this mentality is being cultivated and it's okay? Because if you take George Zimmerman out of the equation, and there's still Darren Wilson. If you take Darren Wilson out of the equation, there's still the officer who put Eric Garner in the chokehold. If you take him out of the equation, there's something in the system. Man, the weather's tainted. Like, it's something, and it goes back to what's going on in this country. And you know, as long as you know, these men are able to get away with it, because, again, the judicial system seems to be flawed.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to keep breeding these type of situations, you know, and we need a complete overhaul.
We do. Okay, on a lighter note, Bill Cosby. Is that lighter?
No.
Is that not lighter?
No.
It's not lighter.
No.
So Bill Cosby, ooh.
You can't make me laugh in years.
You are silly. You know, I still want to see the Cosby Show. I know they pulled it. But Bill Cosby was... It's funny because the comedian Hannibal Buress basically caught up Bill Cosby in one of his skits a couple of months ago, and it went viral. And it was kind of weird because in 20 years, no one ever heard or Googled Bill Cosby in the same sentence as rape until we heard that come from that video. And I was like, nah, this can't be real, but let me just Google this anyway. And I was shocked on what came out. So now you have allegations that are 30, 40, 50 years old. And now it actually seems like more women are coming out the woodwork like, and he paid me to shut up, and he told me to not do. And I'm like, I'm a little confused on, and I'm not even trying to play either card, but why now? Why not then?
Right.
And I understand some of the cases where, you know, no one would believe me, or, you know, I was ashamed, and, you know, that happens when you're raped, but I'm kind of just, I don't know, it's a very sensitive topic.
It's true that the statute of limitations are up. That's an even, I feel like that's an
well, what, for that. Those that may not understand, what does that mean? They can't sue him, they can't charge him, they can't, like, what?
I mean, if he can't be, I mean, legally, like, you can't try for it.
Interesting.
Like, murder has no statute of limitations. Okay. You can always be trying to murder. But if statute of limitations are up, why are you...
Maybe that needs to change when it comes to rape. I wonder why that is.
Yeah,
I mean, it's because these women who were raped and assaulted by him, I mean, the law may say the statute of limitations is up. With them scars, you know, and you know, people, a lot of people question, well, why now? Well, why now? Well, I ain't never been raped, so I don't know what it's like. I can't judge somebody for holding that in or trying to maybe suppress that or be like, man, if I just don't think about it. There's probably a multitude of reasons why we don't speak, but, you know, I think when one comes out and then two comes out and then three comes, there's strength in numbers.
And they're right.
Right. This is a little bit easier. Well, he tried selling me too. It's crazy because that's Kip Huxtable, man. Like, he was like, everybody's dad.
America's dad. But the why now has been, and knowing this from every article that you read, that's been the argument with a lot of people. Not even argument, but it's kind of, you know, a lot of people, and you're right, you know, when you are right, that's something that nobody will ever understand if they're in that situation. I've had friends that have been in those situations, and there's nothing you can ever say to that. But there's people that don't understand, and they're like, I would have never waited that long to bring this up.
I feel like he needs to speak up.
He did kind of break the silence a little bit. And him breaking the silence was him saying that black media needs to stay neutral. Whatever that's
on the allegation.
So
they were never like.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was weird. I don't know.
Because meanwhile, the conversation all these other years was. You know, black kids need to pick their pants up.
Yeah.
When you have
right and
that person.
Yep.
I joked to say he still hustle. You ain't my father.
Right.
You're the American dad, but you ain't my dad.
Dr. Huxtable, it really upsets me that they have taken the Cosby Show.
I do agree with.
Because, you know, I don't want to bring race into the conversation, but I can't help but ask questions. If it was Matthew LeBlanc, would they be taking friends on
there? Yeah, let me say this. So remember the father from Seventh Heaven?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They told that.
But they want to get it to Seventh Heaven. Seventh Heaven was not a Cosby show.
But you're right. I mean, and sidebar, he admitted to the sexual assault of underage women.
I think the Cosby Show is possible. You know, it's hard to separate a man from his art. I mean, you know, we went through the same thing with R. Kelly, right? And Chris Brown, Michael Jackson, like all these allegations and people out there, man, we love their art. And I think that's okay. You shouldn't have to feel away. Like, we grew up, the Cosby Show meant something for us because it wasn't, again, it just wasn't like black America's family. Like, that was America's family in the 80s. Like, that was, you know what I'm saying? It was a bigger show than Family Ties. What else was on during that you can't even remember? Like, that's what it was, and you know, the real family dynamic. That's an important show, and it sucks to see it go away because I learned culture like through that. Like, that was the first time. I mean, my mom used to play Stevie Wonder in the house, that's the first time I seen Stevie Wonder was
right.
Maybe I don't know who Dizzy Gillespie is unless he goes on the Cosby Show and he blows up his sheep.
Right.
And I met Dizzy Gillespie. And my mom was like, hey, that's Dizzy Gillespie. I was like, oh, you're the guy from the Cosby Show. Like, wow. And I'm like maybe 7, 8 years old or something. So that was a cultural moment for us.
That's so story. No, it is sad. And, you know, I've been following the competition online, and this woman made a great point. I think she was a professor. But she was just saying, you know, because she's definitely outraged about the allegations, and of course she agrees with that. But she does agree. She said the Cosby Show was a work of art. Similar to what you were saying, love, what it did for people. And that didn't happen before. But I get it, you know, for all the
different things. I don't get it. I don't get it.
You know, people just die.
Woody Allen still get props.
Right.
Right.
Okay.